Thank you for joining us for First United Methodist Church of North Hollywood's weekly podcast, presented by Dr. Joey McDonald.
Good morning. Today's reading is Luke chapter 16, verses 1 through 13, and I'll be reading from the Revised Standard Version. There is a term towards the end of this passage, mammon, M-A-M-M-O-N, and luckily for me in this version that is in the pews, there's a note, it's just means riches or money. So when you hear that, that's what it means. He also said to the disciples, there was a rich man who had a steward, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. And he called him and said to him, what is this I hear about you? Turn in the account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward. And the steward said to himself, what shall I do since my master is taking the stewardship away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do so that people may receive me into their houses when I am put out of the stewardship. So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, how much do you owe the master? He said, 100 measures of oil. And he said to him, take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, how much do you owe? He said, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, take your bill and write 80. The master commended the dishonest steward for his prudence, for the sons of this world are wiser in their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous mammon, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal habitations. He who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much, and he who is dishonest in very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. May the Lord add his blessing to today's reading.
With me, if you will. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come with the fire and burn. Come with the rain and cleanse. Come with the wind and breathe. Come with the light and reveal. Convict us, convert us, consecrate us. Claim and call us with your care and concern, O God, until we do something. Amen. This is a hard text to hear, and it's at some level it's a hard text to preach, because it seems as if dishonesty is rewarded. What then must the message be, then and now, for you and me? It might just be the simple understanding that it is difficult to serve God and wealth. If you hold up wealth above God, it just makes believing and acting as a believer difficult. I've read several accounts of rich people, I'm not going to name them, but who find a life of faith an abject waste of time. Even in the 21st century, maybe less so in years gone by, but somewhere along the line, these people of great wealth think it's important to give something back. So whether that's an outward theological statement or just a humanitarian effort would be for them and for us to consider. Jesus spoke plenty about money. and wealth. Yet there is no indication that he was anti-wealth. Rather, his insistence was in favor of responsible use of material goods, all that we have. So how do we determine what belongs to God? Of course, the place to start is the tithe. It appears most prominently in Hebrew scriptures, and it's determined that this is a tenth. So, but a tenth of what? Is it your tenth of all that you have, which some interpret? Is it a tenth of your adjusted gross income or net income? None of this is relevant to the question itself. Do we feel that what we have and what you give is a gift? That's the question. Is it a gift? Do what we have. So how do we learn to give? Where does that come from? I think it's both caught and taught. It's taught in the sense of remembering the biblical norm of giving that 10%, and it's caught in the sense of watching what others do and say. I learned how to give from my parents. They were active in church, and they were generous of spirit. I've shared some of this before. Probably one of the most precious gifts I have is a 10-speed that they gave me when I was, I think, 11. I still have it. I no longer ride it because I don't like to ride bikes in L.A. But I rode it until I moved here. And I keep it because I knew then and I know now that it represented an expensive gift and a financial sacrifice on their part. They were generous. They were generous to their children. They were generous to the church. In 1952, my father was transferred to Connecticut from just outside of Detroit, a small town called Dearborn, Michigan. And he went on to Connecticut because that's where his work was. And Mom stayed behind to finalize the things at home, which included the sale of the family home. Time was getting short, and I heard this story, I'll only say a half a million times, but I heard it so many times that my mom prayed and said, God, I'll give 10% of the sale of the house. Just please let us not have to deal with this from a distance. When I got to graduate school, I asked my mom, having heard this, I said, so how did that work? And she said, well, I prayed and I felt God answered my prayer. And I said, so how did you do it? She said, I took 10% of the sale of the house and I gave it to our pastor. And I said, you just handed him cash? And she said, yes. And I said, well, how do you know he did the right thing with it? How do you know he didn't just put it in his pocket? And she said, that wasn't the deal. My agreement was with God, and I honored my agreement. What the pastor did with it is between the pastor and God. Well, a few years later, when I was serving my first appointment on my own, I had a similar experience. Gil Murdoch and his wife, Sue, used the same child care that I did, and frequently I would bump into Gil, picking up children, dropping off children, and invariably he would hand me a bunch of money and say, Pastor, I can't be in church this weekend. Put this in the plate for me. Now, he didn't hand me an envelope with his name. He handed me, $300 to $500. Sometimes a check for $300 or $400 or $500. The check was made out to the church, but come on, you know there's easy ways to get around that, and the money made me the most uncomfortable. So consulting the wisest person I knew, I talked to my mom and I said, "This makes me terribly uncomfortable." And she said, "It's not about you. It's about this man's commitment to God and his faithfulness." It still makes me uncomfortable when people do that, but I know it's not about me. The marriage covenant in the United Methodist Church is a wonderful order of worship. The United Methodist Church, it's not a sacrament, but part of it feels sacramental. When rings are exchanged, the giver says to the loved one, "I give you this ring," says the person by name, and names the person by name, and gives the ring and says, "I give you this ring, and with all that I am and with all that I have, I honor you. In the name of the Word and the Spirit, in the name of God." It reminds us that in relationships we have this sacred trust. Sacred trust. You know the commercial. I'm not going to name the famous actor or the card that he's being paid to hawk. But he looks into the camera and he says, "What's in your wallet?" Well, it's none of your business. What's in my wallet? Just as what's in your wallet is none of my business. There's another ad that speaks to the consumerism that has become just a part of the fabric of our life. The ad is touting a Mercedes dealership, and it says, "If the car in your garage is not the car of your dreams, we need to talk." This text is speaking to that. When we put our material goods, our material wealth above the holy opportunity to live and act in grace, we've missed it. Now you know what's coming. Most of you already got a letter. Don't get ahead of me. We're in the midst of a stewardship campaign, and you've been invited to participate, and that's all it is an invitation. What you do and how you respond is purely up to you. That's between you and God. In 6 years, I've never looked at what pledges, who's pledged what, any more than I care to tell you what I pledge. That's between me and God. There's an axiom that the Wesleys, who founded Methodism in England over 300 years ago, lived by. It was printed in one of the reflections recently, and it's simply this: earn all you can, save all you can, give all you can. That's the holiest act we've got an opportunity to try to live. How you parse that, meaning whether you're giving 10% or 14%, which some interpret the tithe to be, that's up to you, not up to me. I'm neither interested nor here to browbeat anybody into giving. Give. That's what it meant to me growing up. I watched my parents live it. I experienced their generosity to myself and my siblings. That's as biblical a model as exists. The question of what belongs to God in the final analysis is figured out by each of us as individuals. But if all you have is not rendered as a gift, something is missing. And I'll let you figure that out. Thanks be to God that we are afforded an opportunity to earn, to save, and to give.
For more information, find us at nohofumc.com, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr at nohofumc.